Good morning to you all and welcome.
Good morning, all.
Notice is, well, we have hymn books, we have tea and coffee afterwards, and biscuits, I think, or cake. And so you're all welcome to join us there. So as we come to worship, shall we sing our first hymn, which is number 294. Come down, O love divine. 294. Now shall we come to the Lord in prayer? Shall we pray? First, a prayer of affirmation. Living God, we take our stand in your strength. We face the world alongside our living Christ. We meet our neighbours and friends through the love and power of your Holy Spirit. All our confidence is in you, especially at this time. All our hopes are pinned on you. We praise you for the past and trust you for the future. Your goodness and love go with us all our days. Your home is our home forever. And our prayer of forgiveness. Forgive us, God, for thinking that our selfish looking after one another is equivalent to the love you want from us. Forgive us for shrugging off other people's burdens, for putting out of mind the world's injustice and oppression, the hunger and literacy that deprive men and women of freedom and dignity. Forgive us and make our love the proof of yours, to the honour of your name. Amen. And our prayer of thanks and praise. Lord our God, our joy is your delight. You glory when we rejoice. May we see at last the world healed and restored, your name hallowed among us, and peace on earth. Meanwhile, keep us praising, serving, and worshipping. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And shall we sum up our prayers as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us and taught his disciples, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now we come to our first reading, which Edna is going to read for us, and it is Psalm 1, the very first psalm in the book.
Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff. The wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
So we just heard Psalm 1. So what's the message of this psalm? 150 psalms, not in chronological order, But number one is just here. And this psalm is called a wisdom psalm, because we learn that happiness results from our choice to follow God's direction in life. In this psalm, the writer sets forth two ways or two directions in life. One is the right way that leads to happiness. The other is the wrong way that leads us to misery. And in following that, we sing our next hymn, which is 514. Oh, for a heart to praise my God. 514. Now we come to our next reading. It is from James, beginning at chapter 3, verse 3. And Margaret is going to lead us in that.
When we put bits into the mouths of the horses to make them obey, we can turn the whole animal. When you ask, do you not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend that what you get on your pleasure? You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world because an enemy of God becomes the enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he calls to live us in envies intensely, but he gives us more grace? This is what the Scripture says. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Revisit the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Amen.
So what does this reading tell us? From this epistle of James. The epistle of James provides us with the spark we need for this late summer series. It gets us ready to launch of an autumn programming. Autumn? Whatever happened to our summer? Or the pandemic of COVID? Many churches lift into a higher gear once the schools have started again. James gives us a chance to reflect on the nature of Christian service and how we can continue our mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world by engaging in our wider community in acts of service. One thing is clear from man's current search is that while there are many who question the institution of the church getting involved in providing real help to better our neighbourhoods and to lift up the individuals and family within them, they say, well, it's an easy entrance into the worship of life, the life of the church. But James asks us to maintain an outward focus, even when we gather for worship. We are invited to engage with this epistle as we seek to be doers of the word. And so, with that in mind, we sing our next hymn, which is 514, Oh for the Heart to Praise My God. 629, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. That works even far better.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For Christ our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. So, what does it mean to submit yourself to God? As we read in James 4, verse 7. And how is that the same as draw near to God? And God will draw near to you. As in James 4, 8. Our text this week seems full of ethical or moralistic advice. Do this, and stop doing that. The danger is that it can become come across as another self-improvement process that is likely to end in failure and frustration. That is without the key elements of verses 7 and 8. There is something in those verses that makes us all the rest of it possible. Makes all the rest of it possible. Therefore, it seems that, like the first goal of worshipping today, is to help people draw near to God. Of course, that is the purpose of worship every time we gather. But here, the emphasis is on the surrender. The invitation to submit yourself to God in a way that empowers behavioural change. Perhaps it is here as we meet. We are a worshipping congregation that, being made into disciples of Jesus Christ, is a lifelong process of continual surrender and participation with the Spirit, leading to a lasting transformation and growth. There may be emotion involved. We are really purely rational beings. But it's about the conscious decision to see ourselves as works in progress, surrounded by the support and grace from God and the community as a body, working toward the ideal of Christian perfection. Now, this text is an opportunity for self-examination. What resides in our hearts? We cannot always see ourselves, so we need others to help us with this process. Certainly, our prayers can ask God to make known what sins in our inner beings and to evoke our openness to change. Time for confession and renewal, as the assurance of forgiveness is crucial in this process. This is not about therapy or even counselling. Worshipping is about pouring ourselves out to bring honour to God in our lives. But it works to cement relationships with the worshipping community that help us to hold on to the commitments we make. When we submit ourselves to God, we can then begin to see the wider body of Christ as a resource for personal and corporate growth. What opportunities might we provide for praying for one another during our worship? Peace can be our companion on the journey to keep our feet on the path. It is a commitment to a partnership with the Spirit and with the community of faith that will see us through whatever might come. Many churches this past year, 18 months, have had difficulties. We have. And yet we rely upon God to come out at the end a stronger, more loving, more worshipping congregation. That is for the whole church and for each of us personally. We give thanks to God in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we come to God in our intercessions. And so I'll be going over to the other side to do those. Let us pray. Our God, you hold our lives in your hands. You have promised to give us a new heart and put a new spirit in us. We pray, renew us every day. Forgive us where we have failed, and to be good stewards, and to be good neighbours. Give us the courage to think beyond our own lives, to live and consume responsibly, so that our near and far neighbours can experience their full dignity, and that we can help restore and admire the beauty of our communities and of this earth. Our God, you hold our world in your hands. You hear your creation groaning, but you have promised to liberate it from its pain. We pray, renew our world. Forgive those of us who haven't used their power wisely. Give us and our leaders the courage to think beyond our own economies, to seek genuine partnerships, so that all people can experience the fullness of life, and that our planet is known to be the common home for all creation and future generations. God our Father, we leave these prayers in your hands. Help us to help each other. In Jesus' name, Amen. And now shall we sing our final hymn, which tells us and shows us the right way to go. It is 474. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Number 474. Now, as brothers and sisters in Christ, shall we say the grace to each other? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Refreshments is available after the service. Ready now.